Hey there, John Corrales here from the Locked On Celtics podcast with a special edition roundtable here. The Eastern Conference kind of play-in contenders, play-in whatever you want to call us. Here at the All-Star break, we're doing a series of special kind of where we stand in the NBA. And here is the Eastern Conference play-in folks. So here representing the Hornets, Doug Branson, the Raptors, Sean Woodley, the Hawks, Brad Rowland, and what the hell are the Brooklyn Nets doing here, Maury?
What am I here? This is crazy.
What is going on with the Brooklyn Nets that you are with us? You don't belong here. What's this?
They might belong lower. I don't know. This season's going off the rails. Like it's totally off the rails right now. I'm sure we'll talk about it. I cannot believe we're in this spot. Although when you look at the context of the season, I can very much believe that we're in this spot, but yeah, this has gone as bad as you could ever dream it could have gone from the very first, tip of the season. And this is where they are. And it's hard to argue with it. Like this is where they are in the play and they could go lower. This is a crazy point in the season.
So this is the group of starting with the Celtics at 34 and 26, Raptors, Nets, Hornets and Hawks, all within five games of each other. So a little bit of separation at the top of this group, but still anything can happen. We know the reason why our teams are down here is because there's some sort of tenuous grip on being good for all of our teams. but because the Nets are clear, one of these things is not like the other. Let's start with the Nets, because obviously you're hanging your hat on the Ben Simmons trade. So we've already kind of like joked around about why you're here. We all know injuries and everything. Can the Ben Simmons trade fix what's broken in Brooklyn?
Well, having better players play can begin to fix it. Like that's the place to start with him. Like one of the problems within that season is they've been playing with just a roster of barely NBA players. Once you get past the injuries and the mandates and guys that Harden that didn't really want to play near the end. Like after those three guys, the roster has been so top heavy that after them they would have been the worst team in the league if this was the team on a day in day out basis. So adding just a guy who actually is all NBA ish kind of guy, if you can return back to regular form for him, is just a win just to have a warm body. And I know Nets fans are joking about sort of like what Dragic is going to mean. These guys actually kind of for them at this point do sort of matter. So I think Simmons, if he can come back at even some percentage of his former self, not the guy that we remember from the Atlanta series, but like before that who was just, a real dude. He clearly helps the team just from a talent standpoint, because really it's been talent they've been lacking. And this is why they dug this hole. They just haven't had enough horses once the big guys got injured or couldn't play.
So let's throw this out to the rest of the group then, because basically even if Brooklyn stays in this tier, right, in that 8, 9, 10, because right now they're eighth. And if they get everybody back, this is going to be the, oh, crap, they are fully healthy and, everything's working for them, even if it takes like till the last week of the season. So do you think, the rest of you guys think? And let's start with Doug. Do you think that there's this chance that Brooklyn stays here and gets dangerous? Like, what's your crystal ball telling you?
I mean, I certainly think there's an opportunity, but the Brooklyn Nets, by the way, Brooklyn, just want to welcome you to the endless middle of the Eastern Conference. Charlotte's been here for a while. The furniture around here is not as quality as what you're used to, but it lasts a long time. John said that all of our teams have a tenuous grip on being good. They also have a tenuous grip on being bad, and that's why we're here. But I think Brooklyn's got a shot, but they face the exact same problem that all of our teams do at this point. And that's that there are only 20-plus games left in the season, 22 for the Charlotte Hornets. And they've got to do a lot of work in a short amount of time to figure things out this season. And Brooklyn, despite having a lot better talent than Charlotte does on paper, they just have just as much time.
I know the Hawks and Brad, you kind of have a similar a kind of like a similar, I guess, feeling as Doug in Brooklyn, because the Hawks after last year's run are, you know, we're expecting a lot better this season. We heard Clint Capella talking about like, hey, you know, I don't think everybody took this seriously. I think everybody thought winning was going to be kind of easier. Sharing a little bit, it's almost like the Hawks and Nets kind of share a little kinship here. What's your take on their situation? And what's your take on your situation? And can Atlanta kind of be the team that kind of puts it together?
Yeah, it's fairly similar because of where the Hawks were thinking they would be at this point in time, and it was not here. Not necessarily quite to the same level as the Nets, who were seen as top three title contenders, but the Hawks were in that next tier down after making the conference finals. And in some ways, the Hawks situation is almost more maddening because for Brooklyn, you can look at the availability of players and kind of see what happened. Like Kevin Durant not being around is a pretty obvious issue. Kyrie Irving playing half the time is a pretty obvious issue, et cetera. The Hawks have been not 100% healthy all season long. They had a pretty bad COVID spell, et cetera, but they've had a lot of their guys for a lot of the season and they're still below 500. So that's almost more frustrating for fans and for the team. Honestly, you mentioned the Capella statements. They've been a little baffled, I think, about what's gone wrong. And it's not necessarily a big secret on the numbers because the defense has just been terrible this season. And it's pretty hard to be sub 500 when you're number two in the league in offense. That's where the Hawks are right now. That math is difficult. And that kind of means that you're terrible on defense. And that maybe is the clearest explanation of what's transpired. But I think that it'd be a lot easier if they could just be like, you know, Trae Young missed half the season. You could just kind of point to that. But that isn't the case for the Hawks, which is kind of perplexing.
Doug nodding in agreement about being a great offense with a terrible defense.
Well, the Hornets used to be that. Now they're a middling offense with a terrible defense, and that's why they've lost, nine of the last 10 games going in. But I agree. And I just wonder, I don't know if there was, you know, there was a weird season last season, and maybe, there was some sort of things that don't normally happen or teams that succeed in a way that maybe wouldn't have normally succeeded in a normal year. And now we are in a normal year and some of those things are regressing back.
The Knicks.
Right. Right.
I think Atlanta has fallen into kind of like every year there's a darling. And then the next year something good, like the Kings a few years ago, were the darling, and then you know the young team, and everybody's like, "Yeah, we're great." And then guys want to get paid, and some guys do, and guys think, "Well, I was this good before; I deserve more." And the next year, they kind of take a dive. Brooklyn had a year like that. I think the Hawks are having a year like that. I think Cleveland's gonna have a year like that. One team that doesn't seem to have a year like that is the damn Toronto Raptors. No matter what. They are the Dark Knight in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And you keep chopping limbs off, and they're just sitting there still wanting to fight you. And here we are in this group, in this podcast, the Celtics and the Raptors are neck and neck. And I think it's two teams that might be destined to play each other in the playoffs again, and two teams that probably don't want to play each other in the playoffs again. So, you know, Sean, like, how much more can this Raptors team get out of itself? And is Thaddeus Young going to be a big difference maker?
Yeah, I mean, I think I buy into the way they've played since, say, the start of December, right? Like, they're a super weird team. They have their flaws for sure, and that is mostly that they don't have any shooting on the roster. It's just, like, their first four guys off the bench are bigs who don't shoot. It's a weird, weird team, but they're playing well because the rest of the guys on the roster really fit together nicely. You can sort of fit those bizarro chaos agents off the bench along with Thad Young and Cam Birch, the chaos agents being Chris Boucher and Precious Achiuwa, who you never know what the hell you're going to get from those guys. But like with Pascal Siakam playing the way that he has, like he's basically been their backup point guard. And with him able to play point guard, it frees you up to play huge, and you can kind of get away with a little bit less in terms of traditional wing talent on the roster because you have a 6'9" dude who's playing the best basketball of his career at the point of attack, who's driving your offensive possessions. I think they've also really kind of figured out the best way to use Fred VanVleet, who was their all-star over this past weekend, although he has not been their best player over the last month or two or even three. Like, Siakam is clearly the best Raptor right now, and VanVleet is even more dangerous because he doesn't have to create on the ball all the time. He's able to hang out off the ball and offer some of that spacing that this team so desperately needs. So, yeah, like, I think they're kind of playing, you know, they recently had a stretch where they won 8 in a row, and they did so against some really good teams. They had a stretch there where they played the Bulls, the Hawks, the Hornets, and the Heat twice, and they went 7-1 in that stretch of playing all those teams in that, you know, 8-game window there, and then they went on and won 8 in a row. Like, they're a good team when they're at their best. I just think their valleys are really low, and I think they're probably lower than any of the teams in this group because it can get to a point where their offense does sputter, and then when that happens, they can't get their defense set, which is how they create turnovers and get on the run, which is where they're so effective. It's kind of like a negative feedback loop, but it goes the other way too. And, you know, I'm sure all of you have seen this when they've played your teams as well. Like, when they get on a run, it is like truly frightening to watch. I would have to imagine for other team, because it's just this team of 6'9" guys flying around. You don't really know what you're doing. You don't know who plays which position. Thad Young is basically a shooting guard on this team now. Like, it doesn't make any sense, but it also kind of does because they've really leaned into this formula. And I think, you know, where they played over the last little while here, they're not going to go win 8 out of every 10 games or anything like that. But I do think they are a comfortably above 500 team, a team that over the course of a full season probably flirts with, you know, close to 50 wins, just because their best players really make sense and kind of allow them to have this strange roster construction around them.
We'll get into the one team we haven't talked about, this guy's team, which was at the, like, a month ago was at the bottom of this pack, and then all of a sudden is at the top of this pack after an incredible run. First, let me tell people about Bet Online. Football's done, but basketball is getting ready for its home stretch, both pro and college. So for all the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired head coach is going to land, betonline.net is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's not just basketball. BetOnline.net is your source for hockey, boxing, UFC, odds, and everything else. I mean, they basically have everything on BetOnline. So head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, the Boston Celtics made this wild run, winning 9 of 10 and I think it was 11 of 13. It was kind of a surprising run for the Celtics. But the key for the Celtics rising to the top of this group for now is that they've been mostly healthy up until the Detroit game, where they didn't have Marcus Smart, they didn't have Robert Williams, and then lo and behold, they kind of went back to their same old Celtics and blew an 8-point lead in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter. So the Celtics, to me, they need to be whole. And when they're whole, they can be dangerous, because Ime Udoka has come around to using 8 guys, 9 guys. And depending what they do on the buyout market, maybe they get lucky on somebody that can contribute. But basically, he's using a playoff-type rotation now. And that rotation works. The Celtics starters with Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, and Robert Williams is one of the top, if not the best, starting lineup in the NBA. They have a defensive rating that's just insane. The Celtics, since January 1st, have been very easily the best defensive team in the league. But like I said, especially if they suffer an injury to Tatum or Brown, they're cooked, and they can barely kind of, I think, withstand any sort of extended injury to any one of their key players. And basically anybody that plays is one of their key players at this point. So the Celtics have earned this kind of run to the top with their defense. It's been an elite defense, and Derek White helps that really, really well. He kind of slots right in, and Ime Udoka trusts him right away. He's in the closing lineup. If this Celtics team kind of stays healthy and continues forward, I think they can make a little bit of a push. If any little thing, it really is like the waiter with the overloaded kind of tray. And if you just walk by and take one of those cups off, the whole thing can come falling down. It's got to be balanced perfectly. So with that statement about the Celtics, let's start with this. You guys have seen the Celtics like go on this run. Let's go back to Doug. Does this look from the outside, does this look sustainable as we try to figure out, because one of our teams is going to avoid the play-in tournament, and well, assuming we'll say that one of our teams, will it be the Celtics or will it be somebody else?
Yeah, I think it's tough to say at this point, but health has certainly been a factor in a lot of our situations. I think certainly the Hornets situation has been determined by health. They were missing three starters earlier in the season to health and safety protocols, including LaMelo Ball, Terry Rozier, Mason Plumlee. And I called it valiant effort season because they were trying real, real hard, but still losing basketball games. And for the past few weeks, they've been missing some combination of Cody Martin, who's their best defender, Gordon Hayward, who is just a savvy veteran, a connector on a team full of youth and inexperience. And they've been missing Jalen McDaniels, who gives them length defensively and surprisingly shot making this season. He's been much better offensively. So they've been missing all three of those pieces, and it hasn't been valiant effort season this little stretch going into the All-Star break. And now it looks like they may be getting healthier, and so that could bode well for the Charlotte Hornets as they make their final push. So it could be the Hornets.
Could be.
Yeah.
Why not?
Montrez
post All-Star bump for LaMelo. You never know.
Montrez will fix everything.
The guy noted rim protector. Here to save the day.
Well, what a lot of people don't know, I'll give you the kind of inside skinny on that move, because I think a lot of people were confused by that move because Montrez Harrell is not a rim defender. Helps a little bit in the rebounding, which the Hornets are not great at, but he's not a super stellar rebounder. So why did they do that? Because the Hornets could not finish at the rim. They couldn't defend the rim, and they couldn't finish at the rim. Montrezl Harrell right now, plus 22 when he's on the court versus when he's off in this short little span. So I think, when you're talking about marginal differences between teams in a competitive Eastern Conference, Montrezl Harrell, if the Hornets get healthy, could make a difference.
Okay, sure.
I rest my case, Your Honor.
Every single one of us has a team where we can say, hey, if this happens, we'll watch out. And every rest is going to be like, okay, well, we'll believe that when we see it. Except for Doug Norrie, who has we also have Kevin Durant coming back, guys. Like,
a couple weeks away, which I mean, obviously at this point in the season is not soon enough. Like where the Nets can still hang their hats a little bit on this is that, like we said at the beginning, anything that could have gone wrong this season has gone wrong. Like it's truly kind of unbelievable how many things have gone wrong and they're still hanging around. That we're in catching a falling knife territory now, because it's funny, this group that's sitting here in this pod is. This is basically the group that the Nets face over the next seven or so games. Like, they get Boston twice, they get Milwaukee once, they get Toronto on a back-to-back. Kyrie can't play in either of those games. And then they get Miami and then Charlotte on the eighth. And actually, I think this conversation will look a lot different after those seven games, because it's going to swap around some of the standings, and the Nets could honestly just lose every game. Like, if Durant and Simmons aren't able to play in that stretch, we already know Kyrie can't play almost all of those games unless the mandate changes, which I don't believe it's going to in the next 2 weeks. Like, the Nets could easily lose the next seven games straight, and I wouldn't be totally shocked. And which is nuts. I can't believe, again, we warned about this on the pod right when Durant got hurt. We were like, hey, you got to start thinking about the playoffs and missing the playoffs, because it felt very real at this point. The 64% on the Raptor rating from 538 to make the playoffs at this point. This is truly bananas territory we're in. But they are the group that, like you said, see, it's almost, I think in some ways, Boston, I don't think Boston belongs in this group. I think that you're like your trajectory is so different than the Nets are right now because
look at he's like all of us.
There we go. Yeah, keep talking about how Boston's gonna be.
Well, that we got almost like a Robert Williams making like a sneaky defensive player of the year case here, like at the very end. Like, there's like a lot of stuff that there's just going different for the Celtics that are going than some of these other teams, like the rest of everyone in here. I get the context is different for everybody else, but I would say just where the Nets are at this point, it's like I can't even believe I'm saying this. I'm mentally and emotionally preparing myself for a situation where they don't make the playoffs. I think that's very, very real in a way that teams like, and I think definitely fans do not want to recognize. The Nets are terrible with injury timelines. They misreport everything. You can never trust a single thing they say about when a player's coming back. They've been wrong 100 times out of 100 from like what the original things are. I don't trust that any of these guys are going to come back in a timely fashion. And if it doesn't change, like, they could just dig themselves a hole that they just can't really get out of. And it's a scare. Thank God the Wizards and Knicks stink, because that's actually the only thing even holding it together.
One thing we can all agree on this panel. Thank God the Wizards and the Knicks stink. I feel like Brooklyn is like Schrodinger's contender, and we are about to open the box and find out whether the cat is alive or dead.
Well, that's the whole thing. Actually, the thing is, we're just going to sit there. We're just going to, and they'll find, they won't make it. And then that will be like the whole philosophical question is that, like, oh, it turns out that it wasn't ever alive. Like, you believed in something that never really should have believed in. And we should have just known it was kind of cursed. I hate to use the curse word, but it does feel a little cursed at this point. Like, from the very beginning, it's gone wrong, and it doesn't feel like it's changing, even though they've made a bunch of moves that make you feel like it's changing. But I'll believe it when I see it, just because of how this team has sort of operated and how they've been messaging around when players are actually coming back.
Speaking of cursed, I would suggest that if any of our teams get passed by either the Kristaps Porzingis-led Wizards or the Knicks, we should advocate for our teams to be folded on our own podcast.
That sounds great. That sounds great. I don't, Washington is technically within reach because they're, you know, only a game out behind Charlotte and Atlanta, but I don't trust Washington to make any sort of run. And I still believe that Charlotte and Atlanta are markedly better teams than any of those teams that are on the outside looking in. And especially without Bradley Beal, and the Knicks are such a mess. I don't think they're going to make up, 3.5 games in any of them. Like, it doesn't matter how much time is left. I just don't think they're going to do that. So I still feel comfortable with this group being in there. Do we want to just kind of go around? I mean, I'll obviously say that the Celtics, because of their defense, I think have the best chance of this group with 22 some odd games left. I still think the Celtics have the best chance of avoiding the play-in of the five teams here, assuming all five of these teams are in the play-in. I'm gonna do a vote for Boston being the one team that avoids the play-in and grabs a sixth seed. Do we just kind of want to go around the horn and to make an argument for somebody else? Brad?
I'm on Boston's side, which is I hate saying that out loud, John. But I think it would be hard for me to craft an argument for a team other than Boston. I mean, Toronto is right there knocking on the door, but as discussed, they're so thin that if anything goes wrong there, you're playing the guys a lot of minutes. And I know Boston's thin as well, but, you know, I think just given where the situation is, if Brooklyn had KD coming back tomorrow, maybe you lean in that direction. But I think with all the information that we have right now, I got to pick Boston.
Sean? I wonder what I'm going to look up the NBA remaining strength of schedule to see if that could play out. No problem.
The Hawks very easy on that schedule, which is one of the saving graces right now. I know that much.
But, they got the 26th, fifth easiest from here on out, Hawks.
Hold on. The Raptors are road heavy for the next little while, but they finish with 8
Boston,
of 10 at home
Boston,
as well.
10th hardest. And then Toronto, you're going to be in the back half.
Toronto's on the 24th.
Yeah, so there you go. I'm going to vote Toronto. They got the cup. I'm going to go with the cupcakes, baby.
In your face, Corrales.
Hey, no. Toronto starts with the Hornets.
That's fair. I mean, Toronto, that's in a couple of those games are against Cleveland, and I don't trust Cleveland. You never know what kind of, Chicago's defense is a mess. Toronto certainly has a road to win a few more games. And, the thing with Boston is they get some of their tougher games kind of out of the way. And I can see that argument for sure. Boston's schedule is a little bit tougher.
How's the tiebreaker there, by the way?
What's that?
How's the tiebreaker between Boston and Toronto? Who has the season series right now? You guys will know this, and I don't, but that might come into play.
Boston 33-1 Boston, or it's at least 2-1 Boston. I think they played a lot early in the season.
Yeah, we got one more game, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's 2-1.
It might matter. So that little stuff, when you're this close, it might come into play.
Yeah, Monday, March 28th is Raptors Celtics for season split. Yeah,
Celtics have you got the first game. Scotty Barnes went nuts, and we were like, "Whoa, yeah. What is this?" Like, all right, and then the Celtics came back after that. But tiebreakers are going to be huge, I think, moving forward. That's a great point. And look, the Celtics have Brooklyn come up. They have games against some of this competition coming up that can kind of propel them forward. The game Thursday against Brooklyn is a great time to catch Brooklyn because we still know KD is not coming back. We know that they're not going to be whole. And the last time they played Brooklyn, it was a not-so-close game. So hopefully they can continue that again. But yeah, tiebreaker is going to be meaningful. So, Sean, did we get your we got
– Yeah. Make
the case for the Hornets, you coward. There you go.
I mean, if you go back in time and the Hornets get Jakob Poeltl like they should have all along, then they stand a great chance. But, they should have got my boy Yak. I don't know what to say. But no, I think the Raptors stand like they're just a team that wins a lot of regular season games, right? Like they're annoying as hell. You come across teams on a random night and you have this like bizarro team that tries extremely hard, almost to an annoying degree, and they win a lot of regular season games. I don't know what I think about their playoff chances. I feel a little bit better considering Pascal Siakam has played like this sort of, I don't know, top 15 player in the NBA over the last little while. He's been that good. He's turning in one of the best individual seasons for a Raptor, quite literally ever. I think he right now is tied for the second best PER that a Raptor has ever put in after Kawhi Leonard. Like that's what he's doing right now. PER is not everything, but it does tell you something. I think the Celtics just scare me too much in terms of like the role they're on with their defense, because that's a team that also tries really hard and has a little bit more in terms of shot making and whatnot. I am really curious though about like what you're rooting for in terms of like first round matchups for your teams, right? Because like I'm sitting here thinking, all right, if the Raptors finish seventh, that's actually not so bad because they might get the Nets and Kyrie can't play in Toronto, and I like their chances against both Charlotte and Atlanta in Toronto as well. So maybe seven's fine, and you take your luck with whatever the 2-7 is in the first round. But like I'm sitting here thinking, like if they somehow end up in like a 7-8 with Boston, I don't want any part of that because that Boston team is terrifying. That said, Boston's been stinky in crunch time this season. They're like a -7 net rating. The Raptors are one of the best crunch time teams. Like that, you can make the argument that the matchup's nice there too. Like this is the thing. I don't know if you guys feel this too, but it just feels like the East in all of these different tiers, and even you could kind of cross match teams from the upper tier with ours. Like, it all feels like one big, enormous game of rock, paper, scissors that I don't really know how it's all going to go. So I don't even know if the Raptors want sixth, right? Like, it totally depends on matchups as to where you're going to want to be. Obviously, you don't want to play the play-in necessarily, but there's arguments that it's not maybe the worst thing in the world, depending on your matchup, too. So, yeah, I that's my long way of saying I have no idea. The Celtics, I guess I would, because they're first right now, I would probably pencil them in. But I'm not feeling terribly strongly about any of it because all these teams kind of have one thing they can kind of hold over another and potentially win a play-in or win a regular season matchup that's really important or whatever that might be.
I think that's an interesting point about maybe falling into the play-in, not so bad. Let's explore that in a minute. First, I want to talk about Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar on the market. It's great if you're sitting here trying to like get through your New Year's resolutions. It's a great thing to put into your snack drawer take the candy bars out because those things are like 200 some odd calories, and put in a Built Bar, which is like 130 calories, also 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and about 17 grams of protein. That's generally what we're going to get with a Built Bar. Go to built.com, scroll over the different flavors. They're not hiding anything. Go check it out. There you can see all the nutrition information. No matter what your flavor, the palate that you're looking for, you want brownie, coconut, white chocolate, fruity stuff. They've got everything. If you've got a nut allergy, no problem. They've got options for you. If you're trying the keto diet, no problem. You can use that. It's great if it's a meal replacement. It's great as a something to eat after a workout. So, you know, you get the protein in if you're, you know, lifting or working out or whatever. It's great for you there. Go check it out. The best part is if you go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, you can use that promo code every single time and it works. So go sample it, try a mixed box, try a few that you think you might like. Once you figure out what 1, 2, 3 flavors or other products that they have, they've got a ton of other products, what you like, go back, use that promo again, LOCKED15. Every single time you're going to get 15% off at built.com. So let's get into the final stretch here. There's 5 of our teams here and 3 playoff spots. So 6, 7, 8, once the play-in tournament is over, which 2 of these teams does not make it? Okay. Sean, why don't we start with you?
I think I'll go, sorry, Doug. I think I'm going to go Hornets-Nets. I don't really, like, the Raptors have played them a couple times recently, and I didn't feel a whole lot of fear watching those games. Unfortunately, their just defense is not good enough to me. And I think with the Nets, there's just so much that has to go right for them to right this ship. And I think they're going to run out of time to either integrate Simmons in and gain back time. Like you mentioned there, Doug, like if they lose 7 in a row here over this next stretch, a lot of which are against teams that they're chasing, like there's just going to be not enough time to make that ground back up. And I don't care who you are, how good you are. If you're one of those 9-10 teams and you have to play 2 road play-in games, that's not going to go super well, especially if one of them for Brooklyn is going to be in Toronto, right? Like it's just, I don't know. They are too much of a sort of hypothetical for me right now to really pencil them in. And I think the Hawks, as much as they've been a disappointment, you know, watching the Raptors and their strange, you know, experiment lineup all the time, I'm refreshed watching the Hawks because it's just, oh, this is a team that makes sense. It has forwards and wings and centers and point guards and it all is just a team that is normal and helps my brain feel at ease. And I think they're good. Like Trae Young's really awesome. I think there's something in there that hasn't quite been tapped into yet that I think they've kind of flirted with recently that I think they'll probably climb up here and rattle off some wins to close. And yeah, I would say Celtics, Raptors, Hawks in some order would be 6, 7, 8.
Brad, do you feel confident in your Hawks joining this group?
Relatively. I think that it would be nice if they didn't have the terrible start to have to overcome. I think if the season just started over, I'd feel a lot better about where they are, but there is that deficit in play for them when compared to like the Raptors or even the Nets right now. I don't think that I would pick the Hawks to fall behind Charlotte. Sorry, Doug. But it's kind of hard to also find that team that they jump over too. And maybe it is the Nets because of the Durant question. I know we talked about it a number of times, but if Durant was out for 3 more weeks, I think you could probably feel pretty pessimistic about the Nets. But if he's back sooner than that, like who knows? And that's the team you have to circle just because of where the Hawks are on the standings and same thing with the Hornets, you know, being 4 or 4.5, 5 games back of Toronto and Boston with 24 to play, that's a huge, even if I thought the Hawks were better than those teams, that's a huge, huge gap to overcome in that short of a period of time to just go out and flat out project that. So I think if you're the Hawks, you have to think that you're better than Charlotte and you have to hope that Brooklyn stays in their tumble. That's the most logical way to get them in the playoffs.
Doug Norrie, everyone's targeting you.
To be fair, he opened the door. What by saying they were?
Oh yeah, I'm not confident.
There's a huge Doug bias on this whole podcast.
This is like the no Barts club in the this is the no Dougs allowed.
Yeah, I'm not confident because I'm realistic. Like, it's been like, it's only been realistic from the very beginning here with this team. It's been off the rails, like you said. They have such a wide gap in outcomes here, like the truly stunning degree, because if they're fully healthy, you could put them in the championship contender because they have Durant. And like, when you have Kevin Durant on your team, you, as long as everyone else isn't a total JB player, like, you have a championship like outlook, right? But like we said, like, already the hole they've dug, plus the upcoming schedule, plus the other problems they have, like, it's just very hard to still be confident in this without clear timelines around them coming back. So I am not confident. I think Boston's totally 100% safe. I think Toronto's 100% safe. Like, I think that those teams are like Boston. We'll do this podcast. If we did this in 3 weeks, Boston, you wouldn't even be in this tier. I'm 100% sure about that. It'd be someone else in Corrales's place. But the way that the Nets are just set up right now, this upcoming schedule, you cannot feel confident about it. And short of, I'll switch that immediately if they change the mandate like this week, which there's like some chance at. And there's, if that were to change this week or in the next 10 days, I will flip my thinking a little bit, because getting Kyrie, like the above replacement level stuff that you get from him over the next person, would make up a little bit for the Durant piece. But short of that happening, if we're like 2 weeks out from some of these other players playing, I just don't know how you, as a Net fan, you can feel really confident about not at least having to play two playing games, if not praying to God Washington does not just go into the tank, or the Knicks like keep trying and like eke out some games with their terrible team. So I think there's just too many ways for this to go wrong. That's, people aren't going to want to hear that, but beating this drum, and it's been right up to this point, like, it's gone bad, and it's hard to see the hope on the horizon.
The complete lack of faith in Toronto Raptors legend Goran Dragic to turn this unbelievable.
I like it. The move's great. Like, it's a great move by them. It's like just the kind of guy they needed. He hasn't played since November. Like, the part where Nets folks think they just brought, you know, peak Steph Curry into the door, which is how this has been sort of framed for the team. It's a great move, and you will take him every single time. And great on Nash for being able to talk him into it. I mean, Goran Dragic, who hasn't played in 3 months, like, he's going to be the guy that like vaults you into playoff contention after you have this kind of like JV roster. I don't see it. I love the move, but I just can't see him as this like complete X factor that turns them into this winning team overnight if it's just him.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of drums being beaten the entire season, the one drum that I've been beating on the Hornets, on Locked On Hornets, is that Charlotte came into this season without an NBA-level big rotation. And I thought it was malpractice if they were serious about making the playoffs and actually winning a playoff series for the first time since, you know, before they left for New Orleans. And then they got off to a great start. A young team started to play with pace, were shocking some teams offensively that weren't ready for that, started to pile up some wins. And I thought, okay, well, maybe they can make a move at the trade deadline, bring in a big, and then really get serious about making the playoffs. And then COVID happened, and they fell behind the pace a little bit in the Eastern Conference. And then Mitch Kupchak, the general manager of the Charlotte Hornets, decided not to make a move at the trade deadline to fix the one glaring issue that they have, the one that would really, I think, prevent them not only from winning a playoff series at this point, but from being competitive in a play-in game, in a scenario where you've got, you know, one chance to prove yourself and where the other team is going to scheme against your greatest weaknesses. So, no, I'm not confident in the Charlotte Hornets' ability. They've got a lot of fantastic players and they've got a future ahead of them if they fix some of these issues. Not confident in the Hornets, not confident in the Brooklyn Nets. Doug, the other Doug convinced me. So I'm going to go Hawks, Raptors, Celtics.
Okay. Obviously I'm going to say Celtics because they're in a great spot. And I thought coming into the season that the Celtics were supposed to be a fourth, fifth seed. Maybe if certain things go right, you can jump up to third. Maybe if a couple of things go wrong, you drop to sixth. But this is kind of where I thought the Celtics were. They had a slow start. They got crushed by COVID, just like everybody did. But then they had the injury to Jaylen Brown, and it's just too much. And like I said before, this team was never built to withstand injuries to Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. and they lost both of those guys to COVID, and they lost Jaylen Brown to an extended injury. And so throw in a new coach who's just starting to kind of make some adjustments, and here we are. So I like where the Celtics are. I can't rule out the Toronto Raptors because Nick Nurse always seems to find a way. Those guys always seem to find a way, man. They really are like the cockroaches of the East. You just can't get rid of these guys. Like I thought I got the last one. You know, here they come again. So I say that with all due respect. The Raptors are just so pesky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust Charlotte just because of that defense, like you said. I think Charlotte is just unable to defend the middle, and that's too much, too porous. I'm going to go with Brooklyn in this last spot just because they do have that 2.5 games. Atlanta should be better than they are.
Yes.
But I don't think a team that's that young, that has come into this season with the attitude of, hey, we just went to the, you know, fine. We just went two games. We were two games away from the NBA finals. I think that attitude is something that just kind of is a permanent stink on the entire season. And if you haven't been able to pull out of it by now, I don't think the All-Star break is going to be what pulls them out of it. I don't think there's any kind of, for some reason, just in watching teams like this in NBA history, they just can't shake it. Because there's always, they're close enough where they're like, don't worry, we're going to do it. Don't worry, we're going to be okay. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be a reality that hits. Brooklyn, I think you're going to get Kevin Durant back just enough to hold on to that eighth seed. And you're going to get that road. As long as it's not Toronto, you're going to get that road play-in. You're going to get Kyrie. I think Brooklyn can pull it out. And then the narrative will go crazy of like, oh, Brooklyn, the most dangerous eighth seed. And then you're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs. But but that last playoff spot, I mean, it can really go any number of ways. I can't bring myself to eliminate the Brooklyn Nets if KD is healthy at all for any 2-week stretch, because I've seen him come back from injury and all of a sudden just come in like he doesn't miss a beat. And then all of a sudden it's a winning streak. And just the Kevin Durant fueled winning streak is enough to hold on to that eighth seed. That's going to be, I'm not entirely confident in that, but that's where I'm going to go with it. All right. Well, I think that's a good spot to end it here. We'll see what happens. The buyout market could change things. The Dragic thing, I think, does mean something. It does mean something. It's not insignificant. If there's a buyout guy out there and Charlotte picks up a big man somehow, that could swing. That could swing that last spot.
Or they pick up, if Jeremy Lamb gets bought out and they pick up Lamb just to beat the Toronto Raptors, there's the strategy. Three quarters court, he's deadly.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, the Dragic thing is only going to make the Raptors want to beat the tar out of the Nets more, because boy, oh boy, the clips of the Raptors guys just like rolling their eyes whenever Dragic would say it's kind of like when the Grizzlies kind of rallied around hating Iguodala. I think it's kind of a similar vibe with Dragic to Toronto.
Wait, that thing was just a mess from the beginning, wasn't it? Just like from the start.
It's funny because what they could really use is a backup point guard who can shoot. He was kind of the thing they needed all season long. But hey, Thad Young works too. Get more 6'8" guys. It's the dream, baby.
Versatile wings, right? That's the theory. All right, guys. Thank you so much to all of you. And who knows how things go? And like I said, in a week, we could be doing a completely different show. So appreciate it. Thanks to everybody watching. Check out all of our individual podcasts throughout the rest of this stretch run, because it's the only way you're going to get the in-depth local expert take on what's happening. So no matter who you came here as a fan of, if you're a fan of one of our podcasts, listen to the other guys, because they're going to keep you up to date unlike anybody else. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Thanks for listening on the podcast. Thanks for subscribing and sharing the podcast, and tell everybody listening to the Locked On Podcast Network.